I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. We're now in my favorite segment of the show. But before we get there, if you want to ask us a question, anything, just email us at udocs@gmail.com like Victor did about his aspirin allergy and what he should do about it. And can he still take aspirin for his heart attack protection, or what are his alternatives? We'll cover that in about 30 minutes. But now is my favorite section of the show. That's because I learned so much. Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com is the website. What's toxic, what's not is this segment. And is fracking toxic, Gary?
Well, there still needs to be a lot of research into it. And, you know, as fracking, as the extraction of natural gas wells increases in this country and all around the world, we're going to see a lot more study of the issue. And right now, one of the early studies to come out on this is from the University of Colorado. They looked at 50,000 births in rural Colorado, and those people that were living in counties that had more fracking going on, those mothers tended to give birth to 2 times higher rate of neural tube defects, which is a very serious birth defect. So it's a somewhat alarming finding. However, before everybody goes crazy and says that fracking is causing this, it's just association. There was no measurement of actual exposure to anything. So,
and it may be that people in rural Colorado don't take prenatal vitamins, or it may be something else. And it may be, as we often say, and I hope it is, in fact, a fireman issue. You know, if you go and look at who sets fires or what causes fires, you always find firemen at fires. So you'd say, well, maybe it's the firemen. But in fact, that's an association study, just like this one is. And it may be that they just aren't taking prenatal vitamins or something else that would help reduce this.
There was an association between the number of fracking wells in an area and neural tube defects, but right now there is no actual mechanism and there's no actual exposure that one can point to and say X chemical is coming in the air or coming in the groundwater or coming through the soil gas into these mothers' homes that would be creating it. So it's what we call in epidemiology a hypothesis generating study. So it raises the question marks, which will prompt more research, and either it will be replicated and better explained. But unfortunately, these kinds of studies grab a lot of headlines. And so where it's intriguing to us scientists, and we certainly want to see more, sometimes it's easy to overinterpret them. So we have to be cautious, but we also have to be cautious with fracking and make sure that it is a state-of-the-art, you know, that we're not just running around pell-mell drilling, and not taking the precautions needed to safeguard the deep groundwater and to safeguard the air quality, because some of those chemicals can get up into the atmosphere as they're extracting them out of these injection wells.
I've got to tell you that Kathy I, who's listening to us from Australia, no less, has said it's probably just because the people in those rural Colorado areas are using more medical marijuana.
it's interesting to see what news makes it around the globe, and certainly Colorado is becoming famous for not just medical marijuana, but legalizing the recreational use of it.
But she was really specific, saying this had to happen in the past. So it must have been medical marijuana in those rural counties. What is used? There's another question from an Albert. He said, do we even know what chemicals are used in fracking?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good question. There are literally hundreds of different chemicals that are needed to help with the drilling, help with lubrication of the whole process, help in the extraction of the gas. And they try to pull those chemicals back out of the ground, and then they have wastewaters with some chemicals. But inevitably, some of those chemicals will end up in the ground. But, yes, there are things like benzene, which we know is a carcinogen that's used in these situations. There's a lot of chemicals of concern that if they were left at high concentration in somebody's drinking water, including some flammable chemicals, it would certainly be a concern. So that's why all the precautions need to be taken. And we also have to keep in mind that these fracking wells go very deep in the ground, usually deeper than where we drink the water from.
Now, there's another item that hit the wire, and I was really surprised with all the idling cars on the Atlanta freeway that we didn't hear of someone dying from inhaled idle, if you will. But kids are getting exposed to it and getting lung disease from this at school stop-offs. Is that right?
Yeah. Now, let me just touch base with your first comment about storms and people getting stuck on freeways. And there is a concern that you could freeze to death in your car, or you could be overcome with carbon from idling. And a lot of cars idling, you could get an overdose of monoxide from sitting in your car with it running and the heater on. So it is not good to sit for long periods of time in an idling car. But this story is about the school kids who get dropped off. Now, in the old days, you know, when I was a little tyke, I would either walk to school with my older brother or we would take the school bus. And the school bus, you know, is a fairly efficient way to traffic children to school. But these days, oftentimes there's the individual drop-off. And so you have these long lines. You have school buses, and they might only be half full. And then you've got this long line of traffic of parents trying to get their kids to the school. And the traffic jams around the drop-off in the morning and the pickup in the afternoon can be pretty monstrous. And you have this cloud of smog and air pollution right where you don't want it, where there's little lungs trying to grow up and breathe and recreate and learn. And so the studies are now coming in that all the idling buses, and that's a lot of diesel exhaust, as well as all the car traffic, is leading to asthma and more lung disease in children because of this exact problem. So there's a lot of states have no idling laws for their buses, and especially on school grounds. And that's very important. If your town, your state doesn't have that, you certainly want to at least make sure the diesel buses aren't doing a lot of idling. And the other thing is you want to encourage people to have their children take the school bus to cut down on those traffic jams.
Now, Gary, the other part of this, I've got to put it to you, since you're an official in the state of Connecticut, do you have an idling law?
We absolutely do, yes. And
is it enforced?
That is, you know, okay, so there's two things about that. One is that town by town, there are grants that go out to the towns so that they can replace their diesel buses with natural gas buses, which are much less polluting. But the enforcement requires parents, citizens, to call the state and say where they see an idling bus. The state will come. They'll give a warning. The second time, they will find the bus company. So, yes, but they can't go and police every location. So it's up to the citizens to say, you know, there's a lot of exhaust here. These buses are not obeying the no idling. I believe you can idle for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then you have to turn off the engine, which could be tough this time of the year.
We've been listening to Gary Ginsberg, the best at what's toxic, what's not. What'stoxic.com is the website. Gary Ginsberg, always great information. And my favorite segment, is that right? It is what'stoxic.com? I think we lost it. Thanks very much, Gary. We'll be with you again next week. And then the next segment, we're going to tell you the 7 things not to do if you're sleep deprived. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.